Well, good morning, and it's great to be here today. I want to avoid any misconceptions right at the start, and that is I need to share with you that the Kaiser Family Foundation, which was referred to in the last presentation, is not associated with the Kaiser Health Plan, which is, I'm about to talk to. I am here today to talk a little bit about the practicalities of the Affordable Care Act and what it took to implement the Affordable Care Act at one of the nation's largest health plans. I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Valerie Sue, who is not here, but Lori Williams, who is in the front row. Wave your hand. There you go. in terms of both helping pull together the presentation, but importantly, as you'll see in a few minutes, Lori was in charge of the program management office that I'll be speaking to. I have no financial relationships with the presentation. I am the Senior Vice President of Market Strategy and Sales Operations at Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente is the largest not-for-profit healthcare delivery system in the country. It's made up of three entities: the Kaiser Foundation Health Plan, which is the insurance company, Kaiser Foundation Hospitals with 38 hospitals and over 600 medical office buildings across the country, and the Permanente Medical Groups, which at 18,000 physicians is the largest multi-specialty physician group in the country. We serve 10 million members in 8 states and the District of Columbia, and we needed to implement the Affordable Care Act in 9 jurisdictions. You know, as an integrated care delivery system, we needed to implement the ACA provisions, not just on the insurance side, but in the hospitals and for the physician groups as well. We needed to implement the ACA across a wide geography and across many different functional areas. We didn't want to create a new or parallel implementation organization. Our philosophy was that because we needed to create a sustainable operation post-ACA implementation, that it was everybody's job to manage and implement the ACA. As a result, we tapped into thousands of staff across the organization to drive scores of projects using existing organizational infrastructure and many cross-functional teams. To keep us all organized and all these projects on track, we created a Program Management Office, or a PMO. The PMO was created and maintained an implementation roadmap, a high-level strategy execution plan for the company. The PMO also structured, launched, and supported projects to implement the ACA provisions, including interpreting the law, all those thousands of pages, understanding the scope of the provisions, and assigning resources. The PMO coordinated and communicated with leaders and teams across our regions, entities, and functional areas. In a large organization, it's easy to have duplication of effort, and even easier to see things fall through the cracks if you don't know what's happening. To keep everyone abreast of the work, we had dashboards, regulatory alerts, implementation status updates, consumer notices, and employee communications. Now, I'd like to tell you that everything went smoothly, but I think we probably all know that wouldn't be true. So what I'd like to do from here on is talk about some of the challenges we faced and some of the solutions that we came up with to address those challenges. In March of 2010, when President Obama signed into law the Affordable Care Act, we learned that within 6 months, we would have absolutely no products to sell in the market. Nothing in the market at that point in time was fully ACA compliant. Now, I work in a large, consensus-driven organization, and change does not happen rapidly. Our normal product cycle takes a minimum of 18 months. We had 6 months to make all new products. So we, for the ACA implementation, moved to a command and control decision-making model, which included our physician partners. We were able to respond to the laws and implement the consumer protection provisions that we are all now so familiar with. When we started our work, most of the regulations were not yet final, but we couldn't wait for those final regs to begin implementation. So we established in-depth intake and review processes to identify the requirements of the law and understand what changes we'd need to make to be compliant. We weighed the risk of developing solutions for rules that may not end up panning out with waiting until it was too late to be able to meet the deadlines. In addition, we identified senior executives who would be accountable for the work if and when the final regulations were issued. So when the final regs were received, we already had teams in place, we had accountable executives ready to go, and the work proceeded quickly. Last minute detours. As I'm sure you all know, there were many. The one that is forefront in my mind was Keep Your Plan. Mid-November 2013, 6 weeks from go live date, from January 1st, 2014, when everybody who didn't have a grandfathered plan needed to move into an ACA compliant plan, 6 weeks. The Obama administration announced that, you know, if you liked your existing plan, you could keep it. The problem was, we had already retired all those existing plans. And we were ready to move everybody into the compliant plans. The existing plans were no longer in our systems, and we had to reactivate them in just 4 weeks. We learned early on that we needed to establish forums to quickly identify, assess, assign, work, and communicate the issues. One such forum was an enterprise command center. We had key executives who met daily to review, respond, and resolve issues on the spot, and were able to escalate directly to the CEO as necessary. The PMO was essential in disseminating the decisions that had come out of these different forums to make sure that we were all on the same page and moving together. At Kaiser Permanente, we worked with 7 of the 14 state-based exchanges and 3 federally facilitated marketplaces. Each of those jurisdictions implemented ACA in their own way and with varying degrees of enthusiasm. We were quite lucky to work with Washington, Oregon, California, Hawaii, Colorado, and Maryland, who embraced the ACA. They immediately created exchange boards and started their planning work. And they had active legislatures who enacted laws that mimicked or even expanded the ACA requirements. Georgia, Ohio, and Virginia went in the opposite direction, implementing only what they had to and working with the FFM. Our strategies in working with the different jurisdictions was to develop relationships with the new exchange boards and to advocate for rules to ensure a healthy, stable, and sustainable marketplace. Systems integration is essential for rapidly passing accurate data back and forth between the exchanges and the carriers. With 7 different states and the FFM to integrate with, and not wanting to disrupt our existing base membership population, we decided not to build it ourselves, and we outsourced the eligibility and billing work to a third-party administrator. Even so, there were processes internal to Kaiser Permanente that needed to work well to absorb the volume of new members that we anticipated. Membership administration functions at Kaiser Permanente needed to be streamlined. The workflow needed to be streamlined, and we did that by eliminating many internal handoffs. We established an issues management team, and we hired many more staff. You know, technology readiness was probably one of the most obvious challenges that the ACA had in going live at the end of 2013. If everyone had believed in 2010 that the ACA was going to be the law of the land, they would have started planning and testing sooner. Unfortunately, most jurisdictions waited to see how the legal challenges, the Supreme Court decisions, and the 2012 presidential campaign turned out before they seriously started working on their technology solutions. As a result, they had less than 12 months to design, build, and test systems for the October 2013 open enrollment period. It wasn't enough time. We were still testing with some of the states, still testing data transfer after the effective date of January 1st. This resulted in data lags, billing difficulties, consumer confusions, and a lot of telephone calls. What did we do to support the technology readiness? We created our own decision support tool that allowed consumers to choose a product at a price point that would be right for them. We also hired, trained, licensed, and certified navigators who could personally assist consumers with the arduous application process. Once a member selected Kaiser Permanente, they did that inside the exchange, and we didn't always get the information from the exchange in a timely fashion. In fact, in one state's case, it took up to 6 months to get that data from the exchange. That meant that the individuals would not show up as eligible in our membership systems. We felt that it was important that Kaiser Permanente members should be entitled to Kaiser Permanente services once they had selected and paid a premium. So we implemented the Believe Me policy. We implemented the Believe Me policy, whereby when a member presented without any of the proper documentation, we gave that member the service, care, and treatment that they deserved, and only billed them when the membership information finally came from the exchanges. Now, I think I mentioned that there was a data lag and that caused problems with eligibility and with the billing. That in turn resulted in consumers being confused. And when consumers are confused, they call. In a normal year, we receive approximately 1 million phone calls over a 12-month period. As a result of the market confusion during the first ACA open enrollment period, we received 1 million phone calls in a single month. To get to first call resolution to help these members, we installed new telephony infrastructure, we hired many more staff, we hired multilingual agents, and we allowed the staff to work from home. In addition, we contracted with outside vendors for overflow calls. So what are the results? According to the HHS, about 16.4 million people have accessed coverage through the Affordable Care Act at Kaiser Permanente. This is data through August, so I'm sure it's higher now, but we had about 733,000 new members who we can directly attribute to the ACA. Most of those members came through the marketplaces, but a substantial number came through the expansion of dependent coverage, the expansion of Medicaid, and although it's very difficult to quantify, through the increased take-up rates of both employers and employees offering and taking up coverage due to the employer and individual mandates. We're beginning to see the profile of the new membership 48% female, median age of 43. Interesting, the age is actually bimodal. We have many, many members in this category who are early retirees, and then we also have the overage dependents. Only 28% married, predominantly Caucasian. We also are seeing the utilization, and these members are, as predicted, utilizing more than a non-ACA member, at least in their first year. But I think it's really important, rather than to try and describe these folks in generalities, is to actually let you meet an individual. So I'd like to introduce you to Diana Parrott, an individual who lost her job, couldn't afford COBRA coverage, and found her way to California's marketplace, Covered California.
I got some symptoms that kind of were surprising. And being in a menopause situation, you think, oh, okay, just a short little blip. And it continued. But then through work, I couldn't do anything because I was losing my job and I was going to be losing my insurance. In February, I was at Kaiser to go down to the business office to see what could be done to get back to Kaiser. And as I went to the business office, there was this beautiful kiosk, and there was a gentleman. He went through the computer thing that was on the kiosk and basically ran through the program and what options I had. So he said to go down to the KP store. The meeting was great. The shop was fabulous. Everybody was friendly. Within an hour and a half, I was signed up. And that was really, really a peaceful feeling, because knowing that I have insurance now and I'm back with Kaiser. Surgery went well, the healing went well, and then of course you wait for the pathology, you know, because you don't know where it's gone. So then on the 7th of April, she called that they had caught it in time, no chemo or radiation. That was the beginning of my life being here.
You know, Diana is just one of 16 million people who found coverage under the ACA, and as a result, was able to get the care that may have saved her life. Under the old rules, she would have been diagnosed as, or she would have been categorized as having a pre-existing condition, and she wouldn't have gotten coverage. I believe the ACA has been a success, and while implementing it was difficult, and we are not by a long shot finished, and we're still working at it, I'm proud to have been part of the implementation for Kaiser Permanente. Thank you.